I just would, thank you guys all for just your love and care for Maylon and I. This is our last Sunday here. We will have a little bit of farewell time during lunch, after lunch. And so please come to that if you're able. Pastor Wong's going to come up and share. We'll have him come up and pray for him. And so I don't forget, I just want to encourage you guys that, when Pastor Kurt's here, not here, open the blinds. Help one another out with the PowerPoint, sound system, setting up things. We all need help. And sometimes as you get older, you forget. So you can also remind people. We probably will have new people doing things. And so if you have done it, don't be scared to go over and sit beside them and say, hey, let me help you. Let me give you some guidance and direction. This should not be offensive. The person should say thank you. Okay? So don't worry about that. Just go and help them. Let's pray for Pastor Wong as he comes and delivers a message to us today. God, we thank you for this man. We thank you for his family, his wife, and three children. God, we ask that you would continue to empower him and strengthen him as he guides the church, as he guides people, individuals. Father God, we ask that you would fill him more with your Spirit. God, that you would love and care for him each and every day. We praise you, God, and we ask now that you would give us soft hearts, that you would mold them, Jesus, to be more like you, God, that we would hear your word and we would leave here changed people, just loving you, God. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
A quick question. Anyone know or remember when did Pastor Kurt and Maylon's family arrive here? No. A good answer, but closer, be more specific, like which month? Summer, July, June,
April.
Good! April. Anyone know which day? Just let you know that before the first Sunday. I can't remember the second or the third. I think probably second. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we are going to miss them. I enjoy serving together with Kurt a lot. He's a very nice man and easy to talk. We pray together, share, encourage. We're going to miss them. But at the same time, we need to prepare ourselves to, welcome another pastor. So that's why I would like you all, especially the members, to be here next Sunday. We need to vote to just to confirm to welcome Pastor Tom Suriki to come. So next Sunday, if you are a member, please come. If you are not a member, you're welcome to join us because it's a important thing that we can pray and support each other. So that's very important. I think God, brought Pastor Kurt and Maylon's family here, but because they are leaving, so we pray to God to bring another family to us. In the past several months, actually not more than 6 months, we went through the whole process, around, I don't know exactly how many, or probably over 60 people applied for this position as a pastor in our church. And God in some way just helped us to narrow down until we had just a few names, and then Pastor Tom is one of them we feel like God is leading to us. So we see God's hand in there. So please, even we don't know them very well because they are not here often. They came twice, and some of you probably met them once only or maybe never, but just remember that God prepared them. Please come if you want to know more about them. Talk to Pastor Kurt, Dan, or some other people that they probably will share with you about who they are or who he is, and a little bit more information. So please come and vote. Yeah. So this is the important thing for next Sunday. And next Sunday when we vote, we are going to vote for church building also. Church building, almost 2 years ago, we tried very hard. We thought we would like to have the church building going at that time. But I can see God's hand in there. God's timing is good. Because at that point, if we build, we are going to build the same thing with 220,000 more than now what we are doing it. So, you know, I'm not going into the detail, but just saying that for these 2 years, while we were waiting and praying, God is working. So we see God's hand in there. So please, if you have anything you want to know more about church building, you talk to Richard or to any board member or pastors, then we can provide some information so that you can pray about and prepare yourself for next Sunday. So this is something that I would like to share with you before the message. Okay, this morning I'm going to share with you a message. The message is from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21 is on your bulletin. The verse is on your bulletin, but if you want to turn to your Bible, that's good. Let's read together. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Last night I read an article by a very famous pastor in America. He is the senior pastor of Willow Creek. And he said that the most difficult message for him to preach is about commitment, it's about discipleship. Because nowadays, a lot of people, they are more in the postmodernism kind of thinking. They have different definition for absolute truth, those kind of terms, and a lot of time not really sure which way to follow, which way is the best way for us. And a lot of people saying that this is good, this is the right way. And we hear a lot from Christian circle, non-Christian circle, and a lot of us we are kind of not sure about what we do, who do we follow. What is the best way? And the Bible here is saying that when you decide whether to turn to left or turn to right, be careful, because if you are sincere enough, you wait upon God, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." We need to discipline ourselves so that when we, read the Bible, listen to God, and we can hear the sound saying that this is the way. So, brothers and sisters, this is a challenge this morning. Because what Proverbs say is very true. The next verse, the Proverbs 14:12, actually, the same verse appears twice in Proverbs. The next one is chapter 16, verse 25. The Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. This is kind of terrible. I mean, it's frightening when we read this kind of verses. This is the Word of God. It's not just comment from some people, or it's not just experience for a few people. This is the truth. When God speaks, this is the truth. We need to be careful. We need to examine what we are doing. Where are we heading now? Are we heading to a direction that a lot of people think this is the right way? Of course, we haven't reached the end, so we may not know whether the end is a dead, end or not. But just remember this. The Bible teaches us the way that we can go all the way to our God, and we need to walk in it and be persistent. And no matter what happens, we stick in the truth. So that's important. So brothers and sisters, even we have a few children here, yeah, thank you for being here. But it's not too early to learn this truth. We need to learn it. Why is that important? Again, last night I read another article, because last night I read a few articles from a book that is all the pastors sharing about you know, their experiences, how to share the good news, how to preach. And another pastor from during the end of Second World War, he was from Germany. And then when he came to Washington, to New York, the United Nations visit the office there, because United Nations just formed right after the Second World War. So he visited the United Nations, and then he went into the so-called prayer room. His comment is, shame on you. Just a tiny room. It's nothing like giving room for people to come and pray. It's just a kind of, you know, something there saying that we pray, but actually you are not welcome because there is no room there. He was so upset with that. What happened? You know, I would like to bring this attention to you. I think some of you read this email article already, forwarded by someone, or you heard it before. What happened was, after the 9/11, 9/11 is almost how many years? Almost 10 years. And then, the early hour, one of the television, you know, the reporter, Jane Clapham, she interviewed Billy Graham's daughter. Remember this? Anyone? Anne Graham. And when she interviewed Anne Graham, Jesus had no mercy, asked a sharp question. What was the question? The question was, how could God let something like this happen? Okay, you are a Christian. You are from, you know, the Graham's family. You know, tell me, how could God, how could your God let this happen to America? I mean, I have the whole page here, so if you want to read it. Okay, basically, Anne Graham lists out 9 things and say why it happened. And she said, I believe God is deeply saddened by this incident, just as we are. But for years, we have been telling God to get out of our schools, to get out of our government, and to get out of our lives. And being the gentleman that he is, I believe he is, he just calmly walked out from our life, from our school, from our country. And then, Anne saying that, just think about Madeline, Mary, or Harry complained that she didn't want any prayer in our schools. And when she says so loud, and then government say yes, American back down, no more prayer in school. And Madeline was murdered, and the body was found here very recently. That was during the interview. So that's the first thing. And said second, then someone said you better don't read the Bible in school. And the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and love your neighbors as yourself. When someone says so loud, politician back down, and then no more Bible reading in the school. So what happened? Some people would like to see that this way is the way for the American in general, and bring American towards that direction. And then thirdly, Anne saying that Dr. Benjamin Spock, S-P-O-C-K, said that we should not spend our children when they misbehave in school. Okay, that is the point of argument. But Anne said this, because the Dr. Benjamin saying that their little personality will be wrecked and we might damage their self-esteem. So no more spending. And then followed by the school decision. No teachers want to spend, and no principal want to encourage teachers to spend or to discipline the children, because they don't want to be the spotlight on the TV. They don't want to be sued. So no more spending. Okay? Now whether it's good or not, but Anne said that this is the trend that is bringing our country, this society, into a very, very difficult situation. And then she said that someone said that let our daughters have abortion if they want, and they won't even have to tell their parents. And people say so much, parents not happy with, but what can we do? They do it anyway. And then Anne continued to say that some white school board members say things boys will be boys, and they are going to do it anyway. So why not we just pass out condom as they want, and they are fun, fun as they desire. You can see, people think that this is the right way. And Enoch, he lives today. I'm not going to read all the nine, but you can see the trend. How people say things, you know, against what the Bible say, and people take what they say as the right way to do it. And finally, at the end of the interview, Anne saying that when we take away the Bible, which teaches our children not to steal, not to kill, not to, you know, hurt people, and now we turn around and ask ourselves why our children kill strangers, kill classmates, and bring their guns. And we ask ourselves. So brothers and sisters, when Jesus said that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, this is John chapter 10 verse 10, the first part. This is very real. It's not just something that Jesus said, you know, sounds good, but it's actually happening. It's actually happening in our own personal life, in our family, in our society, in our country. If we are not listening to God, and if we are not walking with our Lord, if we just follow whatever people say in this world, then we are heading into destruction. So brothers and sisters, this is serious. This is serious. A lot of things happening now is pointing us to the end of the world. We don't have a lot of time to just go happy, go lucky. We need to be serious about our faith. So brothers and sisters, show our friends, you know, show our classmates, you know, our colleagues, that we are people of truth. We have God's word. So that is so important. When I read Job chapter 1 or chapter 2, you know, chapter 2 verse 6, what is the word of God say in Job? In this verse, you know, God said to Satan, one of the phrases, saying that he is in your hands. That means Job is in your hand, in Satan's hand. What happens if someone is in Satan's hand and not in God's hand? What happens? Oh, we see just a disaster one after another. You remember Job chapter 1 and chapter 2? What happened to him? What happened to him? And why did it happen? Basically, God allowed Job to be in Satan's hand. That is a very hard decision. It's a very difficult thing. But of course, with good purpose. What I want to emphasize here is, if you or me are in Satan's hand, it's a terrible thing. You remember Job chapter 1 verse 13, you know, to 15. The Bible says the messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the seven attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. So this is the first thing happened immediately after God saying that Job is in your hand. Satan has no mercy. He is not wasting any time. So we don't play around with Satan. If we are not in God's hand, then where are we? Be careful, we've never been in Satan's hand because he has no mercy. Doesn't matter who you are, what family background you are from, doesn't matter. He is going to ruin you. And immediately he killed, he steal, and he destroyed, as Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. There is no mercy there. And immediately, the second thing happened from verse Job chapter 1, verse 16. You know, the fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. Okay, the servant thought that that is fire from God, but actually, it's Satan's way of doing things. Brothers and sisters, this is just so hard, because from all these, from verse 13 to verse 17, all those verses told us that whatever Job has, like his property, whatever he owns, all gone. All gone. That's a terrible experience. And Job is someone that, you know, really loved God, and he is a righteous man. And still, when he is in Satan's hand, there is no chance for him. And then finally, from verse 18 to 19, just saying that his 10 children were killed. That was so hard. That was so hard. I'm not sure you, if you return home one day and find out everything gone, your house no more there, car gone, everything gone, what will you do? Maybe you say, well, praise the Lord, no one got hurt. Yeah, we heard a few times, you know, on the television in a recent tornado or disaster. They say with tears and praise the Lord, everything gone but no one hurt. They still can take it. But with Job, anyone got hurt? Not just hurt. All the 10 children died. It's so difficult. Every time when I think about this, I come before the Lord on my knees and just say, Lord, have mercy on us, because quite often we kind of just, you know, go astray a little bit and enjoy life a little bit out of God's, you know, will. An interesting saying, if you try a little bit kind of thing, it kind of interesting, exciting. And if you are not careful, we tend to go further and try a little bit more and just say, God, I repent, but you know, just let me do it one more time. We are not careful enough. We are tend to go that direction. But may God help us, because you know, real blessing from God is when we walk with him and we are in his hand. Just look at Job. A few things that I feel like, you know, Job has a very unique experience here. You know, chapter 1 verse 1 saying that, you know, Job was a man, he's a blameless, upright, he feared God and shunned evil. I mean, this is the most just beautiful way to express someone that is, you know, God's people. This is glorifying God. It's so beautiful. And I think that Job chapter 1 verse 1, when when the, God says this, he really means it. Because Job walked with God and say no to evil, to Satan, and then do everything right and then glorifying God. That is Job. And again, in chapter 1, verse 2, we see the verse saying that God gave him 7 sons and 3 daughters. I'm not sure if you feel like that's too much, if you have 7 sons, 3 daughters. But remember, this is not our generation. Okay? This is many, 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 many years ago. My grandfather had 15 children. Okay? 5 more than Job. And he never feel like it's too many. Because it's the farming background, a lot of people go to farm, and then you plant something so that you have food to eat. So, doesn't matter how many children, okay? You can go to the river and fish, and you get whatever, then you eat whatever. So, that's fine. Basically, education kind of free. Medication, okay, well, there is no hospital, so no worry. So, we need to understand the different background. But not only 10 children. You look at the you know, chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. They are good children. Good children. That is something beautiful. The children, they invite each other for meal. They have good relationship. And they have good parents. At least the Bible says Job will pray for them and offer something and ask God to protect them. If they did something wrong, ask God to forgive them. That's a beautiful family. Beautiful family. What do we ask more about that? Okay, you say maybe, you know, if I'm rich, that is good. But look at chapter 1, verse 3. Job is very rich. Very rich. According to here, I don't know how to express it. Probably Job owns two or three banks. A lot of money. He has a lot, just 7,000, you know, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 5,000 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and a large number of servants. That's a lot of money. I don't even know how to imagine it. You know, quite often I felt like when I was in Africa, you know, people came to me and said, like, oh, you know, our mayor is so rich. The mayor in our African country is an Arab man. I mean, I said, how rich he is? Oh, you can't imagine. He has 1,000 camel. I said, I've never seen his camel. Oh, he just, you know, kind of have a military run out in area, in the oasis, in the desert, miles and miles away, and no one is allowed to go in there. So I say, no one is allowed to go in there. How do you know 1,000 camel? Oh, you can count so many. I don't know how they think about riches. But compared with Job, one family with 3,000 camel, and this mayor got only 1,000. I don't know. I don't know how to explain that. But just saying that if we are in God's hand, God will help us in our spiritual life. God will bless our family, bless our children, and then God will also, you know, just provide what we need and more than what we need quite often. So brothers and sisters, just compare this and you decide whose hand do you want to be in. If you're in Satan's hand, you may enjoy, you know, something exciting for a little while. Then you realize you may not have the, you know, the chance to turn around. That is too big, too, you know, it's a big thing, it's a terrible thing. So we ask God to help us. And that the beautiful thing for Job is, he is a, you know, made with strong faith. How can we see that? Even all those things happened to him, all his animals, his possession gone, all his children gone. And Job say what? Job say, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. How many people can say this? I mean, it's easy to read this kind of, you know, verses in the Bible. But how many of us can really say that? This is the beauty of the person who walk with our Lord. This is the beauty of a person that is in God's hand and then knowing that God is what he needs. That is so beautiful. So brothers and sisters, you know, even with Job chapter 42 verse 12 saying that, you know, God then double blessing him, give him double, everything double, beside two things, children and wife, he didn't double his wife, he didn't double his children, but everything else double. That's so beautiful. So a lot of people question, if we follow the Lord, why we got sick, why we got laid off, and then we ask a lot of questions. But brothers and sisters, those are just, you know, part of the journey. It's not a conclusion. We need to look to God and trust in him, saying that I'm going to walk with him and in his will, and no matter what. Then by the end, you will see his promise, his word is true. So keep holding on his word and never give up. And never give up. Let's read the final 1.5 verse printed on your bulletin. Let's read together. James chapter 4 verse 7 and then first part of A. A lot of us, we know this verse by heart already. So let's read it twice and make it our desire today. Let's pray together. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. One more time. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. So let's bow our head and pray. But before I pray, each one of us, we pray for ourselves to say to God that, God, I want to be in your hand. I want to walk with you. And Jesus said, I'm the way. Let's have the desire to follow him all our life. So let's go to prayer. Father God, we want to thank you because it is your will to bless us if we follow you, if we come closer to you, if we walk with you. Lord, you are the source of blessings. So when we come and walk with you, be with you, the natural blessing will flow from you. And they just fill out our lives. We just want to thank you for the fact that you love us, and for the fact that you point out, never walk with Satan. Never give way to Satan to take any part of our life. We just pray that God, today you speak to us. Make John chapter 10 verse 10 be the verse for us today, and knowing that the evil one comes as a thief to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And let us trust in Jesus, because he comes to give up our life in full, in abundance. We just want to thank you for the fact that we are Christian, we are your children, and help us to have the desire to say no to the evil one and to say yes to our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.